Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro.
Programs, and we're back for another episode of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
And my name is Derek Diamond.
So you had a full weekend with the feature.
Oh, Lord, did I. Saturday, Samantha and I worked a wedding here in Pensacola. We did that through the afternoon into the evening, then drove from Pensacola to Tallahassee, stayed the night there. Then woke up to go to Jacksonville to the Spotlight International Film Festival, where the feature got to play in a theater, which was really cool.
Isn't that the best?
It was so fun. The showing was really early in the morning, so there wasn't like a big attendance, but still, getting to see it in a theater was worth the drive.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and our mutual friend Steve Wise was there. Awesome. He joined us and spent the day with him, and then we had lunch at this really nice Italian restaurant not too far from the theater. That they closed down the restaurant for all the filmmakers, and you know, had lunch provided for us. And after that, we had the award ceremony and a little social gathering after that. So, not too long after the award ceremony, we came back home, because we were like, if we leave now, we can make it home at a decent time. So
that's a lot of driving.
Yeah. And I've already told Samantha that I'm like, I don't want to go anywhere this weekend. I need a weekend to just relax and do nothing.
See, people don't understand how big that stretch is of from the panhandle. Like the entire panhandle to the other side of Florida. It's like, that's, if you were to drive from Pensacola, how far is it from Pensacola to Jacksonville? That's like a good 7 hour drive probably.
Yeah. I think it's around 6 or 7 if you factor in the time change from central to eastern.
Man, that's a long drive to make across there. I've done it many, many times when my brother used to live in Daytona. Many times making that drive by myself, and it is the worst when you're by yourself.
And Jacksonville is just so, it feels so congested. It feels like, yeah, Orlando without the fun stuff.
Yeah. I used to try to avoid it at all costs. Like whenever I would go visit my brother, I would have to go through Jacksonville to get to Daytona. I would try to time it either going there or coming back, where I would hit Jacksonville like early in the morning when there wasn't any traffic, because it is gross, the amount of traffic in that place.
The advantage to getting there that early is there is really no traffic. So we, especially getting to Tallahassee, we made insane time. But it was worth it. You know, it was a really fun trip. And then there should be more news to come about the feature over the next couple of months, because I've submitted the film to quite a few festivals, but a lot of the notifications aren't coming out until late summer, early fall. So follow the feature on Facebook and Instagram at The Feature Movie to keep up to date with that. But how was your week?
It was good. Joey in the chat room, Joey Image, hanging with us in chat, says all Italian restaurants are nice.
That food was so good.
I'm sure.
They brought us like spaghetti and meatballs. They had some type of chicken dish, some stuffed mushrooms that were really good. Just a lot of good food.
Making me hungry.
I know, I haven't had dinner yet. I'm making myself hungry, so I need to stop talking about it.
But, as far as this weekend, I didn't really do a whole lot this weekend. Just played some Tears of the Kingdom. Watched the new season of Harley Quinn started. Watched those. And watched What We Do in the Shadows new season just started. So I'm caught up on that. That's pretty much all I did this weekend.
That sounds like a fantastic weekend, actually.
It was. Let me tell you, I could use another day of it.
Yeah, it's thankfully I had today off just to kind of to recoup. I was, when we got home, I was out probably within 2 minutes of going to bed.
I get it.
Got a great night's sleep and, you know, caught up on some things around the house today. So it's been a good day.
Yeah, see, I know exactly the feeling you have. The first time I saw Monsters Anonymous on the big screen in the theater full of people, on the big screen, was just like it was a lifetime achievement kind of moment.
And you can't replicate it.
No, you can't. It's so cool. And to see, even to see myself up on the big screen is like, wow, that's just weird.
What's funny is there's a scene in the movie when Jace, that's his real name, when Matt, the main character, storms off set, there's a scene where all the crew members are looking really shocked. Well, Samantha is one of them, and she didn't realize it until we were like halfway home, and she's like, wait a minute, I was on a theater screen, wasn't I? Like, yes, you were.
Yeah, that's something to knock off the lifetime checklist.
Yep, you can cross that off your list. You have been on a theater screen before.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, but, it was a good weekend.
Tonight, for the show, we do have, this is not our normal episode, this is another top five episode, which you guys seem to really, really like, because these are our best, most downloaded episodes as our top five list.
People love a good top five list.
I don't know what it is. People just see top five, and they're like, I'm going to listen to that.
It's the same with my show, too. Those are the most popular ones that I put out every month.
Maybe we should just change the whole show to top five every week, just top five something. I think it's hard enough to come up with top five lists now. I'll try to do it every week.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it's, we always appreciate the, you know, the submissions we get, because that's, I think what makes the top five list so great is that, like, your list will likely be different than mine and vice versa. And it just makes you think about, you know, games that you haven't thought about in sometimes decades.
Yeah. And the way we do it is me and Derek go ahead and do ours first, and then we read yours. So if this is your first time listening to the show, we do these once a month. We do the top five lists, and we put up a poll on the Patreon, which you can go join if you so feel so inclined, and you can vote on what the top five list is going to be. We also have a Discord where people get on the Discord. We have a little top five thread in there. You can join the Discord. Just go to nerdcaveretro.com. We got links for everything in there, including the Discord. And we'll read all those after we do ours. So up first, let me go ahead and play this. We're going into our top five games based on movies. Here we go. So up first, we're gonna go with we'll have Derek start his off. We'll start off with your runners up first.
Okay. So these are ones that, you know, if we were doing a top 10 list, they would have definitely been in it, but they just missed the cut of making it into the top five. My first honorable mention is really a twofer. It's Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2. We touched on them last week. These were, pun intended, game changers when they came out. And there have been some great Star Wars games, but none quite like Knights of the Old Republic. Yeah. It really felt like you were in the Star Wars universe. When I specifically remember getting Knights of the Old Republic 1 the day that it came out, and it was just an immersive experience. You know, you felt like you were really part of it. And Knights of the Old Republic 2 is probably a better game, but I have more memories associated with the first one. Yeah. But they're both great games, but I had to include both of them.
I put those on my runners-up list too, KOTOR 1 and 2. And the only reason that they ended up on my runners-up list is because I have other Star Wars games in my top five.
Right. Yeah, and it's the same with me. What's funny is almost half my list is Star Wars games.
Mine too.
That's why I wanted to clarify what we could put in it. One of my other honorable mentions is Toy Story for the Genesis and the Super Nintendo. I reviewed this game on the show a while back. I remember hearing about this game a lot when it first came out, and I loved the original Toy Story movie. It's one of those, you can remember certain movies that you saw as a kid. Toy Story is one. There had never been anything like it animation-wise. The story was incredible, and getting to essentially live through that on a Super Nintendo was really cool.
What really surprised me was that the way that game, well, I haven't played it, but I saw the gameplay of it, and just the way that game looks, like, it looks incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the graphics for it are crazy.
And you feel like you're in the movie mm-hmm. when you're playing that game. And then my other, and there's a reason why this one is in the honorable mentions, is Spider-Man for the PS2, based off of the first Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire. That movie was so gigantic when it came out. And I remember getting this game, and I felt like, you know, I was in the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, the story, it's a little different than how the movie plays out, but it's in that type of universe. And I remember spending a lot of time just swinging through the city, and it doesn't look great by today's standards.
Well, that was the thing.
But like, it was still fun.
That was the first game that made, like, did web slinging or web swinging right. And you mm-hmm. actually felt like you were, you know, web slinging through the city. And it was just, it was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So moving into my top five list, my number five is a game that you and I love, and we've talked about numerous times on this podcast, and that is Star Wars Shadows of the Empire. Mm-hmm. That was the biggest piece of Star Wars content we got before the prequels came out. You had a novel, you had a graphic novel, you had a video game, you had like audiobooks, you had all kinds of Shadows of the Empire related content.
Yeah, people bitch about Star Wars stuff out now. People don't remember. We had a 16-year drought.
Yeah.
Star Wars drought from 83 to 99. There was nothing. But Shadows of the Empire was treated like a full-on Star Wars release. I mean, it was comic books. It was the game. And they made a whole toy line based mm-hmm. on it.
The only thing we didn't get was a movie.
Yeah.
Which, kind of looking back on it, I wish that we would have. But
yeah,
just the game is great. Yeah, it doesn't play as well by today's standards because of, you know, the N64 and its limitations mm-hmm. that we see now. But at the time, I loved playing Shadows of the Empire, minus having to fight an AT-ST with no explanation right at the beginning of the game. But just the little dots that it connects, you know, like it has one of my favorite boss fights when you fight IG-88 in the junkyard.
Dude, that's one of the most frightening things I've ever done in a video game, is fighting him in that Ord Mantell junkyard.
Yep. Yeah, and just, you know, the little, like I said, the little details where it connects between The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. It fits really well, and Dash Rendar is one of the more underrated Star Wars characters, in my opinion. Yeah, he's ship. Like Han Solo, but he's, yeah. Which is in A New yeah. Hope. In the special edition, you see it leaving Mos Eisley.
See, that's the thing. Chad, at the time, I mean, this was full-on canon. Like LucasArts, mm-hmm. Lucasfilm, all that. It was all canon. And then Disney said, nope, not canon. Like, you bastards.
I will never understand that decision. My number four is GoldenEye. I know we did a panel on this at Pensacon. The Switch version notwithstanding, this was one of the first like event games that I can remember. And when I say that, like, there's this hype that was built around it, and it's mostly because of the multiplayer. With the storyline. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's what it ended up on my runners-up list, because do we love that game because it's GoldenEye, or do we love it because it had that multiplayer?
I think it's probably more of the multiplayer, but I will say in its defense, still playing through the story mode, even though it's the movie, like you're basically playing through the movie, it's still not a bad thing.
And Chuck in the chat room says, check your comics for Heir to the Empire number one, lots of money. I have the whole set. I had the books and the comics.
Might need to look into that.
Let me look up on eBay. You go ahead. I'm going to look this up
boy.
On eBay.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, I think we love more of the multiplayer for GoldenEye, but I still had so much fun playing it growing up that I couldn't leave it off my list.
Whoa! The Heir to the Empire for number one newsstand UPC variant goes for $299.99.
Wow.
Whew, that's
I don't know what to say to that. That's left me speechless. I was not expecting that at all.
Here's one that is it's been graded, and it is for $175. Buy it now plus 15 shipping. I have the whole thing. I have the whole set. I have all these. Time to break out the comics.
Can you say ka-ching?
I'm gonna sell the whole set.
You should.
Hmm.
That's insane. I didn't know they were worth that much.
I had no idea.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah, the number three on my list is Aladdin. A lot for the same reasons of Toy Story, but because I'm more of an Aladdin fan. It's my favorite Disney movie, and just getting to play through it. And it's one of those games, and Toy Story is kind of the same in the sense that there are more liberties with the game. Like, it takes some deviations from the story, but for the most part, it follows the storyline of the movie. And just being in that universe, and the gameplay is awesome.
The Super Nintendo version or the Genesis version?
The Genesis version.
That's the one with the sword, right?
Correct. Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Number two is a game that, when I still think about it, it's still mind-blowing to me, and that is Star Wars The Force Unleashed.
I forgot about this one. I love this game.
I remember playing this for the first time when you're in the first level, you play as Vader on Kashyyyk, and you have to use the Force to blow open this door that's made out of wood. When you do that, I said something I can't repeat on this show, but you can probably guess what it is. And it was just the use of Force powers, the graphics for the time, the storyline with Vader having a secret apprentice is incredible, and is one of my favorite Star Wars stories that has been told in any medium.
Mm-hmm. My favorite part of the game is when you pull down the Star Destroyer. I mean, that was one of the coolest scenes in any video game ever.
Yeah, when I realized that was what you have to do, I'm like, oh boy. And then when you do it, you're like, oh my. That was something that, like, had the sequels been like with a younger Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford, that would have been a really cool thing to see, was Luke like bring down a Star Destroyer. Would have been amazing.
I know, right?
But my number one is, the reason why Spider-Man wasn't on my list is because Spider-Man 2 is my number one. It took everything that made Spider-Man 1 great and improved on it. Mm-hmm. And that's really the main reason why it's my number one, is I love the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man universe. I still consider him to be my Spider-Man. I love that movie. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Mm-hmm. And just the game is fun. Like, it took web-slinging to a whole new level from Spider-Man 1, and you get to be Spider-Man. Yeah. And I know the new game for like the PS4 and PS5 obviously is a better game and is one of the best visual games I've ever seen.
Yeah, but I think if it wasn't for these, we wouldn't have those Spider-Man games.
Oh, you're right. No, you're absolutely right.
And I think if anybody loves and plays the new Spider-Man games for PlayStation, if you've never gone back and played these original PlayStation 2 Spider-Man games that are based off the older movies, just do it. Just go grab them. Mm-hmm. You can go get them for really cheap at the retro gaming stores and just play them. They're so good. And they do hold up. They really do.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my top five list. Spider-Man 2 had to be, when this was announced, that was, I'm like, I know this is my number one.
I had a feeling this, either Spider-Man 2 or Shadows of the Empire was going to be your number one.
And they both made the list.
But in the chat room, Chuck said he sold a 9.8 Heir to the Empire number one for $1,500.
My God.
I just need to get mine graded. That's all I got to do. But the bad thing is it takes like 6 months to get it back. Because I've looked into getting some of my
comics
graded.
If you can sell it for anything like that, it's worth the wait.
Yeah, true. I mean, I could buy a whole new gaming PC setup for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
that's insane. Congratulations for that.
Oh, man, that's awesome. For my list, for my runners-up, these are in no particular order. We already covered KOTOR 1 and 2. Like you said, those games were a game changer, and no pun intended. Like, even though they're not based on any in particular Star Wars movie, they're in the Star Wars universe.
They didn't need to be.
And they're cinematic on all their own. So I really hope that they stick with their plan and make some KOTOR movies, because that would be awesome. But we'll see what happens in the future. Another one of my runners-up is Batman Returns for the Super Nintendo. It's basically just Final Fight reskinned as a Batman game. But it's a really great reskinned Final Fight Batman game.
Yeah, no, I've watched some gameplay of this, and I know you've talked about it. It looks really, really fun. And just because it's basically a reskinned Final Fight, that doesn't make it a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you find a successful formula, why change it?
Yeah, I mean, if you like Final Fight or you like Streets of Rage, go pick up Batman Returns, because that's basically all it is a reskinned one of those. And it's Batman. It's awesome. It's based off Batman Returns, and it's so good. Just go pick up a copy of it. You already covered GoldenEye 007. That ended up on my runners-up list because, like I said, did we love it because it was based off the movie or because it was a really good multiplayer shooter? So, because I tried to go back and replay that campaign not too long ago when it came out on the Switch. I don't really want to go through that campaign again.
And the controls, or lack thereof, don't really help.
Didn't help at all. And the last one on my runners-up list was Mad Max for the PS4. The Mad Max canon is, the movies are kind of weird because none of them are really connected. They're sort of more like, if you look at Mad Max as sort of like this mythical figure, and you look at the movies of like, you know, an adventure of Mad Max, like Mad Max in this adventure, Mad Max in that adventure. None of them really, there's no kind of canon, there's no kind of timeline, but Mad Max for the PS4 is kind of a mashup of Fury Road and the Road Warrior. So you take those two and you smash them together and you get Mad Max for the PS4. And it's sort of like it's like a Red Dead Redemption type of game. It's an open world. You upgrade your car. You go and get all kind of different cars. You open up different places on the map, like garages and stuff where you can keep your cars, upgrade them. You upgrade your armor yourself. It's a really cool game. I highly suggest it if you never played it. And you can go pick it up right now for like $5 at GameStop or something. And Joey said Mad Max is good. It is really good. If you've never played it, I highly suggest going and pick it up. So now on to my actual list. At number 5, of course, is Shadows of the Empire. Like, for everything that you said, we had that huge drought of Star Wars content from the late 80s throughout most of the 90s. We had Shadows of the Empire, and we had the extended universe. That's what we had. But Shadows of the Empire was just the way that it took place in between Empire and Jedi. We got to find out, you know, what Boba Fett went through to get, Han Solo and Carbonite to Jabba the Hutt was an adventure all of its own. Like, it's just so good, and it still needs to be canon. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that Disney ever made, was making Shadows of the Empire not canon anymore.
What the Book of Boba Fett should have been.
Yes.
Was that story. Because think about it.
Thank you.
You don't really need to see his face. You don't have to worry about Harrison Ford's age because he's in carbonite the whole time. You don't have to worry about how any of the characters look. Do a 6-episode series on Boba Fett getting Han Solo to Jabba, and that would have been money.
I mean, think about it. He's basically, not only is Han Solo the most wanted person in the galaxy, when he's in carbonite and he's in Boba Fett's possession, that makes Boba Fett the most wanted person in the universe. So imagine all he had to go through.
And not to spoil it, but it shows why he's
the best,
the smartest bounty hunter out of all of them.
But yeah, it's so good. I that had to be in my top 5. Number 4, this one's kind of the dark horse here because the movie is terrible. The movie is awful. It's one of the worst X-Men movies ever made. It's X-Men Origins Wolverine, one of the worst Wolverine X-Men movies there is. But the game for the Xbox 360 was fan-freaking-tastic.
Mm-hmm. I never got to finish it, but it was really, really good.
It's so much better than the movie. And if you've never played it and you have an Xbox 360, I highly recommend getting this game because it is everything you want a Wolverine game to be.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, I need to go back sometime and finish that because, like you said, movie is terrible.
It's awful.
But the game is excellent.
And at number 3, Ghostbusters the video game, the one that came out in 2009, I think it was. I played it for the Xbox 360, but it's on everything. And you could still get it on everything right now. You can play it, I think, this probably in perpetuity on Game Pass. You can get it on PlayStation 4 and 5. You can play it on the Switch. You can play it on Steam. It's everywhere. It's basically, it's the unofficial or official third Ghostbusters movie with the original Ghostbusters. It's so good. That game is excellent, and I cannot recommend it enough.
Yeah, I haven't finished it, but I remember getting it, and because I didn't play it when it initially came out, but no one has said a bad thing about this game. Mm-hmm. And I see why, because what I've played of it is really good.
And you should. And it's not that long of a game either. I mean, you can beat it in probably 8 or 9 hours if you just really got into it.
Okay.
At my number two is, of course, Super Star Wars for the Super Nintendo. It's hard as hell. One of the hardest platformers you will ever play in your life. But the reason I was able, I think so highly of this game, and I can't remember if it was in Nintendo Power or Electronic Gaming Monthly, but I ended up finding a code for like 99 lives, I think. And it took me and my brother used that code, and we just switched off. You know, when somebody died, we'd switch the controller back and forth. Me and him played that game until we finished it. We blew up the Death Star at the end. We beat that game. Although we did cheat to get there using the code, but it was one of the few actual Super Nintendo games I could beat, or say that I could have beaten.
How long did it take you guys to beat it?
Oh, it was hours. I remember at one point we left the Super Nintendo on overnight so we could come back the next day and finish.
Smart decision.
Let's see. At my number one. This is one of the best movies to games adaptations of all time. I don't care what anybody says. It's one of my favorite Nintendo games. It's Batman for the NES.
I knew this was going to be your number one.
Based off the 89 Tim Burton Batman movie. And it is one of the most fun platformers you can get for the Nintendo. And I know it's super hard. I know it's hard to beat, but it's just one of those games. It's in the top 10 greatest Nintendo games. Like, it has to be up there because it's damn near a perfect Nintendo game. It's just the right amount of hard to where it's not frustrating or makes you want to throw your controller against the wall. It's more like, oh, I know I can get through this part, so I'm just going to keep doing it over and over again. It's one of those type of games. So if you've never played it, what are you doing? You should have played this already.
This should be a game that somewhere down the line I can play it and then we can revisit it.
Yeah, and Joey said he used to leave his Nintendo Super Nintendo on pause when he would go to bed, resume when he got home from school the next day. I think we all did that back in the day.
So why I was so happy that you could save your progress and Link to the Past.
Yeah, no kidding. but yeah, that ends up my list. Batman's in the number one slot there. So that's how I'm going to end it.
No, it's a great list. You know, it's I won't say I'm very surprised by it, but it's still I completely forgot about the Wolverine game. Yeah. That would have been an honorable mention for me.
That was actually one of the first ones that popped in my head when we came up with this list. I'm like, that has to go on the list somewhere.
It's also kind of sad when the game is much better than the movie it's based upon.
Joey said, that's what she said. Just the right amount of hard that it's not frustrating.
Well, you know, I didn't want to say anything, but that went through my mind.
but now we're going to, before we go into your list, Derek, would you want to do our Patreon shout out?
Absolutely. We want to shout out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout out Travis Martin, Raven, Danny House, Justin Nispel, John West, Daniel Salmon, Mr. B Res Coffee himself, Mike Eveland, Tyler Watson, excuse me, XBlade07, Armez Jackson, Carlos Longoria, aka Rampage, Staff Sergeant Sketch, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, Joey Image, and Mama Diamond herself, Donna Diamond. Thank you all so much for your continued contributions and keeping the lights on for us here at the show. And if you want to be a part of our awesome Patreon community, just head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. For as little as a dollar a month, you get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows, and you get early access to our fun commentary tracks, like we just mentioned, mm-hmm. Batman 89. We've also done episodes of Darkwing Duck, which we recently did, Tailspin, Gargoyles, Real Ghostbusters, full-length movies like Transformers the Movie, Clue, Christmas Vacation. The list is near endless of what we've done, and very curious to see what we do for August.
I know. We need to come up with a our lists and put up the Patreon poll and see what everybody wants us to do.
Yep, absolutely. So head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And for new patrons, send us your social media info, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, so we can give you a proper shout out.
Hey, Derek, have you heard the news?
What news?
We officially have our very own line of coffee at brezcoffeeco.com.
That's right. Nerd Cave Retro now has its very own medium roast coffee.
If you want to try it yourself, or even some of the other awesome flavors like Wizard's Potion, which is a butterscotch, caramel, and hazelnut flavored roast.
Or the Dragon's Breath Roast, which is a cinnamon dolce flavored roast.
They have tons of different flavors, and you can also just get a regular Colombian roast and add any flavor to it that you want. They even keep their seasonal roasts all year round.
If you need that boost to get you through those all-night gaming sessions, then head over to brezcoffeeco.com and use the promo code NCR for 10% off your order.
Up first, I'm gonna do Wally's first because I feel bad for missing his last month. So his is going to be first here. He says, using your incredibly generous definition of games based on movies, my list is as follows. But I think he used our incredibly generous definition a little too far here on one of these, but we'll see. We'll start at number 5, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. That is a very
excellent game.
Excellent choice.
Excellent.
Spider-Man 2 at the number 4 slot. Number 3, GoldenEye 007. And number 2, this is the one I'm going to take issue with here. He says, Fortnite. Using your definition, it is a canon part of Rise of Skywalker and Free Guy mostly, but also the MCU, DCU, Terminator, Predator, Transformers, etc. I don't know. I don't think we can stretch our meaning that far. If it's in... Fortnite is not in these universes. You're just basically taking the characters and putting them in the Fortnite universe. What do you think, Derek? Can we count it?
I feel like we have to. One, because we missed his list last month. And two, he's kind of got us on our generous definition.
Yeah, but I mean, our generous definition was if it's based off a movie universe.
You know what's going to happen if we say no, then Fortnite is going to be included in some kind of movie, and then he's really going to have us.
Yeah, for real.
So we might as well just give it to him.
Even Joey says that's a huge reach in the chat room.
Oh sorry. I meant to say X, not Twitter. Yeah.
And at his number 1 slot, he says, Ghostbusters 2009, most platforms, even Switch. Yes, that is an excellent, excellent game, and I highly recommend it. We'll go ahead and go to our Discord right now. We'll pull those up.
All right. I've got to pull it up on my phone because I don't have... I don't have Discord on my computer.
Well, I can go ahead and start it off because we got Mr. Joey Image and Mr. Brandon Rutledge. And I am the Rampage.
Okay, I've got the list pulled up.
Okay, you want to go do Joey's first?
Yeah, I'll do Joey's. He says his honorable mentions, RoboCop for the Commodore 64. Awful game, but I spent so many hours playing it as a kid. Friday the 13th, also for the Commodore 64, and also awful. Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis. I saw that on a lot of lists online. Old DOS game. Star Wars Galaxies, PC MMO, in no particular order, GoldenEye for the N64, Mad Max for the PS4 and 5, Goonies 2 for the NES.
Ooh, I forgot about Goonies 2.
The Battle for Middle Earth, old PC game. Battle for Middle Earth, there was a version for the Xbox 360 that my friends and I played like religiously. And Batman for the NES,
yes,
which you mentioned. And he also adds this, a movie based on a game, Days Gone.
I knew he was going to sneak it in there somewhere.
There's got to be a Days Gone. I love it.
Next, we have Mr. Brandon Rutledge, and he says, E.T., just kidding. Honorable mentions, Alien 3, probably the only good Game Gear port, though I've heard that the Genesis version is the best one. I've heard that Alien 3 is pretty good, too, for the Genesis. I haven't played that.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters, the video game, 2009. Lost World, Jurassic Park, arcade light gun game. Jurassic Park, the Genesis version. And Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game. And a special,
I saw that on a lot of lists as well.
And a special honorable mention for Kingdom Hearts franchise for their incredible use of the Disney animated film IPs. And for his actual list, he says, Die Hard Arcade, a classic 3D beat-em-up. Four, Star Wars Episode I Racer. That was a really good game.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
And number three is a tie between Disney's Aladdin and The Lion King. Number two, Terminator 2 Judgment Day Arcade version. All the home console ports suck. I do agree. The Terminator 2 Judgment Day is a great light gun game. And at his number one is GoldenEye 007, revolutionized first-person shooter, multiplayer games. What else can you say? Agreed.
Yep, absolutely. No, that's a really good list. Next up, we have I Am the Rampage. In no particular order. Well, I'll do his honorable mentions first. Terminator 2, the arcade game. Willow for the arcade. I didn't know there was a Willow game.
I know there's a Willow NES game. I didn't know there was one for the arcade.
Jungle Book for the NES, Judge Dredd for the Super Nintendo. I didn't know that existed. I have to play that.
I didn't either.
and Stargate for the Genesis. In no particular order, Spider-Man 3 for the PS2, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, RoboCop for the arcade, Batman Forever, the arcade game, and Jurassic Park Rampage Edition for the Genesis. I feel like that had to be a requirement for his list. He also says, now we need a top five franchises turned into games, because I was thinking about how much fun I had playing Incredible Crash Dummies on the Genesis.
I remember the Crash Test Dummies NES game, and it's terrible.
Yeah, I remember those advertisements in magazines. That they were, those advertisements, like, they were all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember when the Crash Test Dummies were just a thing? Like, they were all over. They started off as the, you know, the PSAs for seatbelts back in the late 80s. And then they became like a cartoon series and then video games. And like, that was like a thing for like a hot second.
Yeah, it was, it went viral before viral became a thing.
And also, these are from our emails. This is from Mr. Armez Jackson. He says, tough list, mostly because games are loosely based, a prequel, or a continuation on the movie source material. That being the case, this is my list. His honorable mentions are Batman for the NES. I'm glad that one ended up on a lot of people's lists here. Rambo NES, love this broken mess. And I want to review this game one of these days, because I remember playing it as a kid and having no idea what to do in that game, because it's not linear at all.
Interesting.
Jurassic Park for the Genesis and Lion King for the Super Nintendo. And for his actual list at number five, Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay on the original Xbox. I remember playing this game, and it was great. I don't know if it holds up, but it was, at the time, it was awesome.
I really liked the Riddick franchise.
I do too.
Like, I love that universe. I like the Riddick character. I just don't know why they didn't do more with it.
Yeah, but Escape from Butcher Bay was a really great game.
I never played it, but I heard good things.
Let's see. Number four, Alien 3 for the Genesis. Number three, The Goonies for the Famicom. Number two, GoldenEye for the N64. And number one, I was wondering if this was going to end up on somebody's list, The Warriors for the Xbox.
Come out to play The Warriors for the Xbox.
And I wish they would do a remaster of that, because I love that movie, and I never played the game.
Yeah, I never played the game either. Let's see, and I believe, yeah, this is last but not least, Mr. Tyler Watson, the official fact checker to the official fact checker of the Nerd Cave Retro podcast. I'll start with his honorable mentions. RoboCop for the arcade. I put a lot of quarters into this at Pizza Hut just to never make it past the first stage. Die Hard for the arcade. Also a Pizza Hut quarter muncher. This game was a lot of fun. This game was stripped of the Die Hard name when released in Japan, as Sega did not have the Die Hard video game license for that country, and it was rebranded there as Dynamite Deca. It even got a sequel, which was released in the U.S. as Dynamite Cop for the Dreamcast.
I'm Dynamite Cop. That's cool.
I did not know that.
I didn't either.
No. Star Wars Trilogy Arcade, another killer game from Sega. I spent way more than I should have at a movie theater trying to beat this. Mm-hmm. Same. Got all the way to the end of the Return of the Jedi section before I ran out of cash. The shooter bits were fun, but the parts where you use a lightsaber are real janky.
Yeah. Still love that arcade game, though. That game's great.
The worst is when you would get there before your movie would start and you start playing a game and you get really into it, and then you'd have to stop because it's time for the movie.
Yeah.
And I can't believe this is on the list.
Oh, good Lord.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. I read his list before we started. E.T. for the Atari 2600. Yes, it is a notoriously bad game, but I hold a special place for it as it was the first video game I ever played. Without me showing an interest in it, my parents wouldn't have gotten me an NES for Christmas that year, and I might not even be here in this group. So thank you, E.T., for me. That is your legacy.
No, that's not bad. So, I like that.
Yeah, I respect that.
And Joey in the chat room says he should have added Raiders of the Lost Ark for Atari 2600. He played that so much. I don't think I ever played the Raiders of the Lost Ark for the 2600, but I do know that's one of the early games where you have to, it's like a collect-a-thon kind of game. And
right.
I didn't know you could do that type of stuff on the 2600. Seems like it might be kind of interesting to go back and try it out.
Yeah, I would say so. Moving into his top five list, number five, the Super Star Wars Trilogy for the Super Nintendo. Cheating a bit by combining three games into one entry, but I can't separate them. These games are known for their difficulty, and rightly so, but that doesn't take away from the fun factor at all. Plus, you can always put in cheat codes. It's what I did as a kid.
Yeah, I think that's what we all did.
Yeah, I think we all had to. There's nothing more fun than playing through Jedi with infinite screen-clearing thermal detonators.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I did too.
I think that was the only way I could finish that one, too. That's the only one I still have from when I was a kid. Is Return of the Jedi. I don't know what I did with my original Super Star Wars and Super Empire Strikes Back cartridges.
Yeah, I wish I still had all that stuff. Number four is Ghostbusters the video game for the PS3. I had so much fun with this game. It just nailed everything about Ghostbusters and put you right in that world. The environments were beautiful, the ghosts were imaginative, and the story was fantastic. My only downside was the library stage. It went on for far too long, and it just suddenly ramped up the difficulty by making you go through a long stretch without any other Ghostbuster to revive you if you get knocked down, causing you to do a huge chunk all over again if you died.
I remember that part. It's been a long time since I played this game, but I would play it again right now if I could.
Number three is Scott Pilgrim versus the World for the PS3. More based on the comic than the movie, but it was released at the same time as the movie, so I'm counting it. Scott Pilgrim is a four-player side-scrolling beat-em-up that plays like a modern River City Ransom. The art is gorgeous, and the chiptune soundtrack by, and I'm probably going to butcher this, so I apologize, Anna Monoguchi is top tier. My wife and I played through the original several times each when it came out. We got the physical version from Limited Run Games a couple years back when it came out again for modern consoles. It arrived a few weeks after my PS4 died. When I finally fixed it last week, it was one of the first things we played together. That's awesome to have a game that you can play with your significant other. His number two is True Lies for the Super Nintendo, which you reviewed not too long ago on this show.
Yep.
I've been an advocate of this game since the 90s, and it made me so happy that Jason reviewed it recently because more people need to know about it. My stepbrother and I rented this back in the day and played a lot of it together, swapping the controller once one of us lost all our lives. Earlier this year, he came down to visit us, and it was one of the games I had loaded onto my SNES Mini. I turned it on, and we picked back up right where we left off. I love everything about this game, and it's a rare win for LJN.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing for me is I thought the game was going to suck because it did have that LJN label on it, but it was an excellent game. Like, it's really good. Although it ramps up difficulty for no reason in that stupid park, but other than that, I liked it.
And his number one is Spider-Man 2 for the PS2. Until the 2018 Spider-Man on PS4, this was the most fun you could have with a Spider-Man game. It really made you feel like you were Spider-Man, and a big part of that was how well they nailed the controls, particularly the web-swinging mechanic. It was as smooth as spider silk and so much fun to do. I'd often turn it on just to swing around the city for a while and let those troubles melt away in a moment of pure zen. The lady whose purse was just snatched or the kid wanting me to bring back the balloon he let go of could wait. And that honestly is one of the biggest selling points of that game to me is you just get to... Mm-hmm. It's like Tears of the Kingdom. One of the best things you can do is just wander and explore.
Yeah.
With this game, you could just swing through New York as Spider-Man.
That's what I like, do as with someone the Spider-Man who is a Spider-Man. I'll just turn it on every once in a while and just swing through the city for no reason. Just to swing around.
Yeah. Just take it all in. But yeah, that's Tyler Watson's list. So great list as always.
Yeah, thank you for all the lists, everybody. That was excellent. So thank you all. Sure what we're going to do for top fives next month, but if you do have some suggestions, please drop them in our top five. We have a thread, top five submissions. You can go right in there and give us your idea for top five lists. So we would love to have some ideas on what kind of top fives you guys would like to participate in. So let us know, please.
Absolutely. And to answer Joey's question earlier, he asked 360 version of Middle Earth was an RTS also. Yes, it was. And it was a really fun one.
And Chuck said Galaxies was awesome. And I never got to play Star Wars Galaxies, but everybody I knew had a really high-end PC at the time and was playing Galaxies. And by the time I saved up money and bought a PC to play, it was already like nobody was playing it anymore. And it was going away, you know, like no one
was
playing.
Don't you hate when that happens?
So that's when I started playing Warcraft.
Well, you may not have picked up Warcraft had you been able to play Galaxies.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, I still think that a Star Wars MMO could work. And I know they tried again with the Old Republic not too long ago. And I know it's probably still going. But there's just something about Star Wars. I think that they kind of missed the point with it. And I think you should be able to be whatever you want to be. Like, if you want to be a smuggler or a Jedi Knight, like that type of stuff, you have to sort of like, with Warcraft where you gotta, get your XP and all that kind of stuff. But then you have like, I think it would be kind of weird because like Jedis are so overpowered in that kind of universe. Like, how do you balance that type of stuff?
Yeah.
I didn't really think about that till it just hit me. I'm like, man, Jedis would be like so crazy if they're like so overpowered when you think about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I'd love to play a Star Wars online game, but for now, I mean, they've been knocking it out of the park with all the Star Wars games. You know, I still got to play the
Jedi Survivor.
Jedi Survivor.
Yeah, I haven't picked it up yet.
Because, man, that last one, that was so good. It was too good.
Yeah. For the record, I did play The Old Republic when it first came out. And I don't know what it was, but I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I kept
There's something a little off about it.
Yeah, I kept looking at some of the gameplay videos people were putting out and some of the trailers and stuff they had for it. And it just didn't capture me. It just didn't feel like Star Wars to me. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, I totally agree with you.
But Anything else before we leave this evening?
Yeah. As always, check out the Derek Diamond Experience. Dropped this week's episode about an hour before we went live. I couldn't record it because I was out of town for most of the weekend. But I listed top five TV cliffhangers, which was a really hard list to do.
Yeah, it was.
So you can check that out. I also talk a little bit about the film festival that I mentioned, you know, earlier in this show. So you can check that out on YouTube and all podcasting platforms. Just head over to linktree.com/ddiamondpodcast.
And as always, go check out the Open Micers podcast with me and Mr. Jacob Craig. It's at Open Micers on Twitter, Instagram, or X, or whatever it's called these days. I don't know what's going on over there. But yeah, just go check out, you can go to openmicers.com and just check out the show. We've had a lot of really good guests on lately. We've had some really funny hostful episodes where we talked about the headlines and all that kind of stuff. So go check it out. And for next week, I'm going to be reviewing, since we did last month, we did top five failed gaming mascots. I got really interested and I'm going to go ahead and review Bubsy and Claws.
Okay.
Encounter. Claws Encounters of the Furred Kind next week. And I've played a little bit of it so far, and I can say it's not impressing me so far.
Should I make popcorn?
Yes, you should. You should definitely make popcorn.
I'll make some popcorn.
It might be rant time next week.
I'll be sure to mute my mic when I eat.
But I think that's going to bring us to the end of the episode, Derek. Is there anything else before we leave this evening?
Oh, real quick. I actually have a Patreon poll up for my next review that I'll be doing in 2 weeks. So if you're a Patreon subscriber and you haven't voted yet, poll closes on Friday. So go ahead and get your vote in.
And you heard the man. If you want to be a patron of the show, head over to patreon.com/NerdCaveRetro. As little as a dollar a month, and you get ad-free shows. And if you want to vote on stuff, you got to go to the $3 level. But at least at $1, you know, you can get the ad-free show, the RSS feed. You can you get access to the commentaries like 3 weeks before everybody else. So just help us out every single month with as little as a dollar. You can email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. You can go to nerdcaveretro.com. That's our link tree that takes you everywhere, even our Discord. And, of course, ncrmerch.com, where you can go get T-shirts and hats, stickers, bags, mugs, whatever you need. And I think that's going to do it for this week. And leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to the show. So, Derek, please tell them what it's all about.
May the way of the hero lead to the Triforce.
Yes.
A fellow checker, eh?
This podcast is a Zoo House LLC production.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. Warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsitis.
Kayla Itzinez. I'm Kayla Itzinez, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits.
Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.